Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's April. That's the birthday month of the Mustang. Specifically, the birthday is coming up this Saturday, and Ford is opening up its archives to give us a glimpse into the development of the iconic vehicle. And there are a lot of surprises when you look at some of this material. Joining us to talk about it is Ted Ryan. He's Ford's archivist. So, Ted, tell us about the Mustang with this special anniversary and all of the background information you have.
Well, it's the 57th anniversary of the Mustang, the world's most famous pony car. And what set it apart from the very beginning and continues to set it apart from other vehicles is the look, the design, and the styling. It looked cool. It looked fast. It looked sporty when it was introduced in April of 1964. And it still has those attributes today that have made generation after generation fall in love with it.
Anything in particular Ford's doing to celebrate this anniversary? Kind of a hard time to do a celebration, but I didn't know if there was anything virtual you were doing.
It is. We've got a couple of cool things on tap. Number one is we, this morning, released a never-before-seen document on the Special Falcon Project. That's what the Mustang was originally called. And those documents include the blue letter that was sent in by Lee Iacocca, signed by him, that launched the program. And then more fascinatingly, weekly status reports from 1962 until mid-1963, where you can literally see the Mustang come to life as they experiment with different doors, different steering wheels. And all this great documentation is available at media.ford.com. It's some never-before-seen stuff, and including some of the styling photos, so you can see what the other 7 vehicles that the Mustang competed against for final appearance, what they all looked like.
So, you know, we're radio, we can't show those, but describe, I mean, was there a wide variety of different looks that Ford and the team went to before they decided on that iconic Mustang look?
What Iacocca did was brilliant. Is he set up a competition between the 3 different design studios at Ford. So you had the advanced concept, vehicle concept studio, which simultaneously was designing the Ford GT40. They presented 3 or 4 options. The Lincoln Mercury studio presented 2.5, and the Ford only presented 1 vehicle, but the driver's side door was different from the passenger side. They all had a sleek, sporty appeal. The Mustang stood out, though, because it didn't look as European as the other designs. The Allegro looked very elegant and European. The Mustang looked American. And it had the beautiful stylized lines. I know I'm describing for radio as best I can, but it stood apart from every other vehicle in the lineup. And they were all judged on a single day, August 16th, 1962. All 8 of the choices are there in the courtyard. And the Iacocca and Henry Ford II ultimately chose the one that became the Mustang.
And the two of them were in agreement, because oftentimes they weren't.
They were eventually. There were a couple different choices on that first day. They were looking. They narrowed it down to 2 vehicles the first day. But after a couple of weeks of memos going back and forth, and these are the great memos you can see at media.ford.com, they settle on the sleek, sporty design version, which ultimately became the Mustang.
Now, with all this competition, there were a lot of people involved. Did anything leak out at the time?
It did later, but not at the beginning. At the very beginning, it was a pretty tightly held secret. By the time the car was ready to launch in the spring of 1964, it was jokingly referred to as Detroit's worst kept secret, that Ford was coming out with a sporty new car. Well, heck, we'd been putting the Mustang 1 and the Mustang 2 at college campuses across America so that everybody knew Ford was about to come up with something. But then it was released and revealed at the New York World's Fair on April 17th, 1964, and the rest, as they say, is history.
What were the Mustang 1 and Mustang 2 that were at campuses? Was that kind of a research project to see how it resonated with young people?
Exactly. It was a prototype car. Prototypes and concept cars really had an important place in Ford design and, in all different design. So they would take these stylized versions, and the Mustang, you can see it now at the Henry Ford Museum, and it looked to me like the speed racer car. I may be speaking for an older generation, but, you know, it had that classic feature, the low sporty look. And so Ford was taking these vehicles. The Mustang II was a little bit longer than the eventual Mustang, taking them to college campuses to see what the younger generation's appetite for something that looks sporty and different and new could be. And their test results were telling them exactly what eventually happened. There was a market out there looking for a car. The younger demographic, they are better educated, a little bit more money, two-income families, as more women are entering the workforce. And there was a market out there that was starving for something to appeal to their generation. And that's exactly what the Mustang did.
And as we look back 57 years and you talk about this competitive process, I was thinking it's amazing that all of this was done with no computers.
It is. That's part of the beauty of the archives is the fact that there were no computers. So all of this great documentation exists in our product planning notes. And so I've spent literally the last 6 months reading almost every page that went into the creation of the Mustang. It was alternatively, you can tell your listeners, cocktail party fodder. It was called the T5 project or the Special Falcon project. They can wow their friends at cocktail parties with the insider knowledge. So every memo that had to do with either T5 or Special Falcon, I read them all. And then we curated this selection that's available for you to read through and to see how the Mustang actually came to life.
And when did they actually come up with the name Mustang?
That was very late, Jeff. That's a fascinating story because for most of its life during the developmental phase, it was called the Cougar. In fact, the early design photos all showed a Cougar logo. But they hearkened back to the original Mustang 1 and its ode to the Mustang fighter plane during World War II, the P-51. And then that Mustang name was applied to it very late, but then it also took on the symbolism of a wild Mustang that can't be tamed, and the Western symbol the Western symbols, which they then, knowing it was coming as well, developed the code name Bronco. And then later after that, you got the Maverick and you got the Pinto. So that whole theme of horse and Westernness played out in the passenger car line for Ford, all based on the fact that they turned around and called the Mustang instead of the Cougar very late in the game. As far as I can tell, it was only 3 months before the April launch that it finally got nailed down. It was going to be called the Mustang.
Anything else in those documents as you were looking through them that kind of caught your eye that may have went, whoa?
The thing that caught my eye the most was the amount of work that went into it to keep the cost down. It's kind of a secret fact, but the Mustang was being introduced as a low cost vehicle. It was supposed to be the entry level vehicle. The fact it looked as amazing as it did is almost gravy on top of everything else, or the cherry on top of the sundae. But it was being designed to be a low cost vehicle, which they ultimately they did. It was about $2,600 for a Mustang. So the planning documents and the fact that the total emphasis on style and cost, and the two had to go hand in hand, which was a different way of thinking for Ford. If you think to Ford Europe, where they were producing the low-cost Cardinal, that's a boxy-looking car. It didn't even look nice, but you know, it was designed to be an entry-level car. The Mustang was going to be different, and that was Iacocca's flair and Don Frye's passion, to be able to have something that both looked good and could be an entry-level car. Go on.
You started one of my favorites, so I want to hear the rest of that.
So one of my favorite stories on the Mustang is they brought in 52 families with children. And to see the Mustang, this is a little bit before it's going to be launched, and showed the families the Mustang and said, is this a practical car? And of the 52, almost all of them, 48, no, it's not practical. You know, it's hard to get the kids in and out of the back seat. It's beautiful, but it's just not practical. They then told them what the cost was. All 52 of the families then began to come up with reasons why it was practical, why they could make it work. So the look and the styling overcame some of the shortcomings of the Mustang as a family vehicle. And if you don't have a family yet, that low cost and that styling has got you from the get-go. You know, we sold 400,000 plus Mustangs in the first calendar year, and more than 1 million in the first 2 calendar years. It was such a hot selling commodity. They couldn't, you know, 22,000 orders went in the very first day that the Mustang went on sale. So it from its very beginning, it was the most popular sports coupe, as it is today. What are we now? 6 years in a row of being the best-selling sports coupe in the market worldwide. The Mustang, even today, still has some sales chops to it.
Yeah, and then one other thing I was going to ask you is, as you're talking about this, I mean, you know, Lee Iacocca always gets a lot of credit for it, and I had always wondered myself, you know, how much was he really involved, or was he just a guy who really heavily marketed it? But this sounds like he really was involved from the early days.
He was. Lee Iacocca was very involved. It was a team of a combination of marketing and market research and engineering that pulled off the Mustang. Don Fry deserves almost an equal amount of credit because he shepherded it through, just as he did the Bronco a little bit later. Harold Spurlock with the design, you know, keeping the engineering and the design. And frankly, Henry Ford II, his goal was, and keep in mind, this is 3 years after the collapse of the Edsel. And there's still some sensitivity at Ford Motor Company about new product launches and how much to promise or to overpromise or not promise at all. And they got Henry Ford II to go along with the idea of a low-cost, sporty-looking vehicle that was going to, and it was going to improve the image of the Ford Motor Company to the new generation. We didn't want to be your father's or grandfather's Ford Motor Company anymore. We wanted to get the new generation, and the Mustang was the way that we were going to do it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.